Oh, we're on.
So it's so live now.
We now.
Okay, good.
Good morning.
Yeah. Hey, everybody. This one's kind of instructional. We don't have any guests on. What we've got is Jamie and I talking about how we do intramural opens. I've gotten a number of questions from affiliate owners and others asking how to do intramural opens. And admittedly, when faced with the daunting task of setting one of these up, and it is a daunting task if you're trying to run your business and you don't have a huge support team, it's kind of hard to fathom how am I going to run an intramural competition in my gym. There's a number of gyms that do it. I think every affiliate should try it at least once and see what kind of response you get. Admittedly, the first time we did it, I had heard about it for a few years before we decided to do it, and then we did it, and our community went nuts for it.
I didn't know that. I thought we just kind of, once we heard about it, we just kind of...
It went for a few years before we decided to do it.
When we did it, too, the first time, it was definitely...
2018, I think, was the first year we did it.
Very chill.
Yeah.
As far as how we went through it. It wasn't too in-depth as we are now. No.
And we can talk about that. So what I want to do is kind of walk through the process of how we go about it. So we'll have over 200 people participate. Yep. And we could talk about team size and all of that, too. Mm-hmm. I think that's important and gives you an idea. We were always unsure as to how many teams we should have. Should we have two teams? Should we have three teams? Should we have four teams? The more teams you have, the more cumbersome it becomes as running an intramural open. Mm-hmm. We'll talk to you about how to get the data, where to get the data, how we did it. We'll talk to you about what scoring systems we use, the spreadsheets and stuff. Admittedly, it surprises the hell out of me. There are all the apps and crap that gets developed online for everything else surrounding competition.
This is one thing that's not there.
Yeah. How has someone not created an intramural open app? Yeah, including CrossFit, by the way. It is one of the things that I've raised to them numerous times. Create an intramural open app for the affiliate owners so they can just click, 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 and the scores are there. What do you want to reward? You can reward, you know. And those points, scoring gets pulled off of their database. The CrossFit Games has admittedly a lot of data, but they don't manage that data well. And even Dave Castro said that the technology that they have for the open website and for the leaderboard is a legacy system.
Did I hear that they're looking to redo some of that stuff? As far as like how the app and the leaderboard stuff is working?
Sure, you might have heard that.
Through the grapevine.
Might have heard that.
Maybe it's part of something with like all these new changes that we're seeing already
Seriously,
maybe at some point we'll see a facelift in that.
I seriously doubt that it's going to happen this year.
No, absolutely not this year. We're way too far into it this year.
Yeah, it may happen next year.
That would be great.
You know, and I don't want to sound like I'm bitching about the leaderboard. I am bitching about it. But, this is something we bitched about CrossFit forever.
Yeah.
Is technology.
Yeah.
You know, people look back at, it's what cracks me up is OGs go, oh, I remember the blog. It was so awesome. That's what we should bring back. Yeah. I remember when everybody was bitching about how ugly our blog, the CrossFit blog was. The original blog was great. Was great for the first 5 years.
Yeah.
For the next 15 years.
It was a good startup.
Yeah. Anyway, let's get into this, and here's how you do it, and here's how we do it, because I started to think about it. And the caveat, Jamie asked me this before we got started. Are we going to disclose that we're not doing an intramural open this year?
Yes.
And yes, we are not doing an intramural open this year. We've done it 2 years in a row, and we took a year off before that. We occasionally take a year off, and what we're going to do, what we've decided somewhat unofficially, is that we're going to do an intramural open every other year. It is the running an intramural open is there's a tremendous amount of energy, enthusiasm, and we don't want to create burnout.
Yeah.
I think that's most of it. And as an owner, and I'm terrible. I'm a terrible delegator. So I put like all of the scoring, I take down the scoring responsibility. Nobody can manage an Excel spreadsheet like
between the scoring and just putting the scores out at the end of the, like your graphics that you put together.
Yeah. All the graphics and stuff. I do it 100% myself. It's so dumb. I need to I'm sure I've got Excel spreadsheet pros.
You've got your templates. So at least there's
that. No, and I'd get emails from people saying, hey, can you put the scores out sooner?
Hey, I judged this many people that didn't show up.
Oh, my God. Yes. Anyway, we'll give you the highs and the lows, but it is awesome. And it creates a tremendous amount of energy within your community. And it is a great way to engage people and get them feel comfortable about participating and make everybody feel like they're contributing. That's the one really cool thing. Mm-hmm. So start from there. When you're thinking about your intramural open, think about what do I want to reward within my community? What do I want to, what action, what outcome do I want from my community? For us, we wanted everybody to sign up for the open. Mm-hmm. So we wanted everybody that was participating to register for the open. We wanted everybody that was participating in the open to submit their scores to the open. The reason is Jamie Lee says, and Jamie Lee, you know, he writes our programming for Diablo and a lot of other gyms, with a end goal of improving your open score from the previous year. It's a great benchmark of your performance overall. It's a 3-week test. And if you did better than last year, something you're doing at the gym is going right. And so we want everybody to participate. We want everybody to complete all 3 workouts.
We also want to have judges.
Right. I feel so like let's get into it. Right. So the next one. So we also, what else do we want? We want people to register for the open. Then we want people to judge, right? So because when you run an intramural open, one of the things that happens, or when you run the open in your gym, period, you're always looking for judges, yeah. Especially now that you have to take the judges course. You want people that have to take the judges course, and you want them to be incentivized. So we want to reward judges as well. So it's okay. So we got to come up with a scoring system that, you know, includes judging as well. We want people to come to the Friday Night Lights. That's a big one too.
It's what's so great about this too, is like with the Friday Night Lights, is it brings everybody together at one time, right? Versus having everybody that comes in the mornings and afternoon, you don't mingle, you don't socialize the same way.
Right. And we say Friday Night Lights.
So yeah. It could be Friday night, Saturday main event, Sunday
right,
fun yeah, day.
Right. And here's the other thing. Our Friday Night Lights starts at 4:00.
Yeah.
Right. So
starts at 4, ends at 8:30.
Yeah, it ends at 8:30. If we had some good years where we were, you know, or good events where we were done by, you know, 7:30.
I think nice. Programming has a lot to do with that too.
Yeah, it does. Right. The complexity of the programming, how big you can run your heats.
The length of the heats.
And then length of the heats. We also wanted to recognize people that were doing it scaled and that people were doing foundations. Mm-hmm. So that's an important part. We wanted to make sure that they felt like they were contributing to the team.
Yeah.
We wanted people that were, had a PR.
Mm, yes.
And by the way, just doing the workout and doing good at the workout is not necessarily PR.
Jamie, it's gotta be specific.
Yeah. I put Jamie every week on taxed him with,
what the PR is for the week. And that could vary between a lift. Maybe this first time doing the lift. Maybe it's your first unbroken 50 double unders. I mean, we are more specific as far as what we're going to count as a PR. It's not like I did my first set of thrusters unbroken.
Yeah.
Something specific that's related to a skill or something that we've been working on leading into it.
You're a little fuzzy on the screen here, by the way, on my screen.
Am I?
Yeah. By the way, you have the right sound set up, correct?
Yes, I do.
Just it's a little bit fuzzy, not a lot.
My Wi-Fi is showing some weird stuff.
Oh, my battery's at 15% too. Hang on, baby. We'll make this.
I got my charger if you need to plug in for a moment.
That's good. Hopefully it'll work. Anyway, so new PR. Oh, and then we want people to get really excited about it. And the excitement and enthusiasm, of the open. And so we want to reward that too. Someone's doing an extra amount of work. Someone's, you know, showing, putting out content for us. Someone that's helping out in every way possible. We want to reward that as well. I think that's important. So let me pull up. So knowing that, so you pick the things that you want to reward. And then let me show you. And so then what you do is you build backwards. So instead of... So what we created now is the scoring for the teams. By the way, in terms of size of teams, we've the best way to you want to it you want a teams that
well, we stuck with three teams. We've never done two.
Yeah, we did Masters versus.
Oh, we did. Masters, that's right. We Masters did do that 1 year. Yeah.
Masters versus Millennials.
That's right.
But my feeling was is you don't want more than 50 on a team. It just becomes cumbersome.
Yeah.
And so if you got, you know, for our gym, it's, you know, we
over 200 people doing
it. Yeah, 200 people doing it. So we, you know, we tried. We ended up with three teams, and that gave us about 60, 65 a team. And it was a little bit unwieldy. I just didn't want to set up four teams. Here's the other thing is when you do this is you want, you need a good team captains. So you need someone to run the teams. And what we did is we asked our coaches and employees, okay, did you know any volunteers to be a team captain? And then once we got three employees to be team captains, one for each team, then we went to the community and we picked people that were
Mavens of the community,
the ones that, you know, were excited, you know, help always helping out, that the, you know, they're kind of team leaders. They're the ones that are the fun people in class. And we put those people, and here's what we also tried to do is get someone from the morning, someone from the afternoon, someone from the evening as one of the team captains. Yeah. That way it helps draw in, they can help recruit people to the team.
Yeah.
Which is cool. And then of course, what we did is we go into a draft. But let me first show you the score sheet. So the score sheet, let me see if I can make this a little bigger. I'm not sure.
Just zoom in on your second monitor.
Oops. I think I know how to do that.
Hit Command plus or Control plus.
Oh, here we go. Right here. So.
There you go. So scoring system.
All right. So everyone can contribute points.
Yeah. Which is really important if you're trying to get attendance and maximize people doing it.
Right. And so we get one. We gave 1 point for completing the workout and submitting to the CrossFit Games website. Why this is important is because they have to. I was extracting scores for the team performance from the CrossFit Games website. I didn't want to have to go to score sheets that they turned in and enter those scores. I wanted to go to one place. So I would go to the CrossFit Games leaderboard for my affiliate, and I literally would cut and paste that into a spreadsheet. So then I had everybody's name, and I had their scores for the workout. Yeah. And what's cool is if they did it foundations, it was dash F. And if they did it scaled, it was dash S. So that allowed me to really easily sort it. And what I did is I would go into my spreadsheet. I would highlight that column where the score was with a dot S dot F and then the regular score. And I would split the column data to text, and I would look at the hash mark and it would just split it. So then now I had a column with their score and a column with whether or not they did it scaled
or foundations.
Yeah. That's huge, right? So you want them to submit it to the game's website. Now your team captain will see the score, and I'll tell the team captain, look, you got to get everybody to submit their score because if everybody submits their score, that's a point for your team.
Yeah.
So you have 1 point for doing it and then submitting it. Now, if they attended Friday Night Lights, we gave them another point. So that encouraged people to attend Friday Night Lights. And this made a difference for some teams. Like some teams had a lot of their teammates at the Friday Night Lights, and that influenced the scoring for the team.
Yeah. And you pulled that data from our
mind body system.
Yep. So from class attendance, because you guys had it set up to have, was like 40 people to attend in that hour.
Yeah. All I did was just pull it. And then I cross matched it. You know, if you got someone that runs Google Sheets or Excel, really helps. Cause then you can just put the data.
Yeah.
I can put the names of the people that attended. You can either alphabetize it and try and do it that way, or you can just run a little query where it looks for the name and then gives them a check mark if it finds their name in the mind body data. It's a relatively easy thing to do. Mm-hmm. Find someone that knows how to do spreadsheets that can help you with it. Mm-hmm. It's really easy. So if you put the data for your who attended on one sheet and you got your main scoring sheet on the other. In that column, you create a formula to just go scan that data, look for their name, and then give them a point. Mm-hmm. So that's how we did it. I'll show that spreadsheet in a minute. I'm going to make all this stuff available for everyone if you want to see it. I'll give you access to the Google Drive, and you can pull those and copy those spreadsheets.
It's probably way more helpful than trying to reinvent the wheel.
Yeah,
yourself.
It is. It's like I got it all, and I did it every week. So the other way to do Friday Night Lights, just to talk about Friday Night Lights for a second. When people came into the gym, so we created blocks of times, one-hour blocks of times. So let's say 3 hours. We had three big classes, CrossFit Games Open 25.1. And we'd have three times, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock. The times that people would go, though, depended upon the workout, obviously. But we have a big whiteboard at the entrance to the gym. And we had the heat times that we were going to run. Mm-hmm. And one of my coaches, it's OCD, and he's just great at organization and keeping people where they're supposed to go and doing what they're supposed to do. Coach Chad, he's awesome at that. Coach Chad would create the heats and people would put their names up. Here's a really cool thing. Next to each name, he also had a number for the judges.
That was huge.
So we were giving a point for every judge that you did, every judging workout you did. So you'd get a point for judging. So that's the judging in last year, the judging names would fill up before the freaking athlete names would fill up.
That actually, I mean, we'll talk about it too when we get into the draft, but that was a big component for when
don't
it came down
give that away because that was don't listen
we'll come back
we'll
to
come,
that
we'll come back to that we'll come to the draft I want because the draft is one of the funnest things of the whole process judges had instant value and so they would and that influenced a lot how teams did in the competition. And we never hunted for judges a shortage of judges.
I think that was such a huge So it was so clutch, especially because we have that block. I mean, we kind of talked about the heats, but that the heats would fall. There'd be a couple heats within that block time. So when people signed up for an hour, first come, first serve to get on the list. But some people would sign up to do the workout and then they would sign up for the next heat as a judge.
Yes.
And that just makes the whole process so much smoother because, I mean, there's been years where it's like we're like 5-10 minutes late behind
can we get a judge? We need a judge.
And then you get somebody who's like getting ready to go up on the next heat. They get caught judging, so it kind of messes with the overall,
The
experience of that person.
Yeah, just give points for judges. Yeah, and that's all you need.
It's huge.
It is awesome. And then here's the other thing that it did: the teams organized study nights as well.
Yeah, for the judges' course.
Coach, Team Pink definitely won last year. Yeah, you, and that's the other thing with the intramural open. You're going to get lagged.
Oh, it sticks around.
I don't know what year it was. The Purple Rain.
It was like team. 17, I think. 16, 17.
I have to hear about the Purple Rain and how they dominated 1 year in the open, and then they talk about it every year.
That was the year we left it open to draft, like to recruit.
Yes, to recruit. Well, we'll talk about that, too. Yeah. I want to talk about that in a second. So ranking points. So here's what I do for performance, because everyone's like, well, what do you do? You know, everybody wants to pick the best athletes. Mm-hmm. The beauty of CrossFit scaling the workouts for master's workouts and foundations and scaled is that you almost can compete head to head.
It levels the field.
It does level the field. Yeah. But what we did is I decided to pull out, we kind of evaluated the workouts in the past, and we decided to separate the scaled and foundations, put those two together
as their own essential scoring opportunity,
as their own scoring opportunity, because those workouts, the way they structured them, the times came out close. I mean, if you pull out the scores in our gym, you'll see that, you know, of the top 10, four of them would be foundations and five or six of them would be scaled in that top 10 ranking. Mm-hmm. The same holds true. This was awesome. The same holds true with the masters athletes in your gym. So your age group competitors, which is really cool, and your open competitors literally competed head to head.
More level playing field.
Yeah. And so what we did is we created two categories, top 10 male and female category placement. And we would give 10 points for first place, 9 points for second, or 9 points for second place, all the way down to
one.
1 point for 10th place. And if there was a tie, we only had 10 places. We just, you know, we split the points up and did the, how you normally do ties.
Yeah.
It's easy. It was really easy to do. That was surprisingly easy. That's what the part that people kind of thought, oh shit, what am I going to do? So top 10 men, top women, and that includes masters. And what was really cool is that our masters athletes would show up in the top 10 in force. Like mm-hmm. they were 30 to 40% of the scores in the top 10 category. So now going back to, like Jamie said, think about the draft now.
Yeah. You're not just trying to pick the top competitors.
No, no masters left behind.
Yes. If anything, masters got picked up quick.
Oh yeah, masters get picked up quick. So now you got masters going head to head with women. And then we did open, and then we did the scaled category, which was scaled plus scaled masters plus foundations.
Yeah.
Scaled plus scaled masters plus foundations. And that was a cool category as well.
See a lot of mix up.
In that. Oh yeah. And here's,
that was fun to watch. Just like every time you posted the spreadsheet and you could see who did what on what workout. That was really cool. Give attaboy points. And
occasionally there was an athlete that could do the workout RX and ended up scaling the workout for some odd reason, maybe feigning injury, maybe being really injured. We're not sure. Surprisingly, they'd end up at the top of the scaled leaderboard. And that was always fun too, because it was great to give those people a hard time. Yes. And we tried to tell the teams, no gaming it. Don't be gaming. Don't sandbag it. But it was a lot of fun. And the ones that did do it scaled ended up had good reasons for doing it scaled.
Yeah.
But it was fun to give it for everybody to give everybody crap. We'd give 1 point for new PR. Jamie would determine. So, for example, if it was, you know, first pull up, for example.
First pull up.
We wouldn't let everybody choose their own, like,
no.
Max unbroken pull ups. I broke my record.
We were very specific as far as like you needed to hit this specific goal to hit a PR for that session.
Yes. And how we scored that was that one was a little bit labor intensive.
Yeah. Cause then you have to
put it on the score sheet.
Put it on the score. Oh, that's right.
So the judge. But
there was nowhere really to verify that.
There's nowhere to verify. So what the judge would do, we required the judges to write PR in the upper corner and circle it. And so then, and we knew what the PR was for that week, whatever Jamie chose the PR to be.
Yeah.
And then all we had to do is when we're going through the score sheets, we pull out the PR score sheets and set those aside. And then I would add that point
separately.
That point separately. Going back real quick to the judging. So everyone's like, well, how do you know who judged? Well, one, I would take a picture of the whiteboard that you have.
Oh, so you were cross-referencing that.
That was my backup.
Okay.
That was my backup because there were occasions, and this is the other thing you got to talk about is redos. There's occasions where there's discrepancies, but you could.
That's what I mean, occasional repeats.
If you, last year and the year before, we pulled it off the CrossFit Games website because when you look under your score for your affiliate, it tells you who judged.
Yep.
If you looked in the spreadsheet, it has the judge's name. That was cool.
Yeah.
So again, I just used a spreadsheet to determine who was the judge. Now, you have to make a determination as an affiliate. We've done this. We've allowed it some years and not other years is redos. Do you give, you know, athletes come in and they do redos and judge come in for, you know, and do the redo. And that doesn't get recorded
unless it's a better score. Well, they might record it, but it's going to go away when they put in a better score.
That's right.
So like from a judging perspective, if we're trying to accumulate points, that's where it's really helpful to have it on the score sheet. Cause then when they submit the score sheet, which we have a big bucket at the front that we have, you know, we're collecting that half of the score sheet. It has the judge's name, has the athlete's name, has whether they're doing
good
scale
point.
RX. So that little score sheet is crucial. And if you're judging multiple times, you want to make sure your athlete submits their score and drops the score sheet. Cause if they don't drop the score sheet, cause they're, I'm going to do it Sunday to get a better time. Yeah. They're not going to get credit for
that. We were just, and you guys know as affiliate owners, you got to hammer your community to turn in those score sheets.
Yeah.
Turn in your scores, register, put it online. Some years we've had computers out there. Remember?
We had a couple laptops up, a little Chromebook set up.
People can enter
right there.
That was probably the best that we've had.
Probably.
As far as like
follow through with people submitting those scores.
Now it's on their phone, right? They can go in on their phone. They can enter it on the phone. it's, you know, people are still delinquent about it. Yvonne, my wife, she'll go through and she'll pester people one-on-one. Hey, enter your score.
One thing, and it was before we were getting on, get ready to go on. I had an idea for another pointing option, a point opportunity was bonus points for following up with your team to make sure everybody in your team. So basically the first team to submit all of their points gets an extra.
Yeah. I like that.
So, at least first team to submit all of their scores may get a, like a handful of extra points or something like that.
That's right. So, the team
kind of incentivize them.
First
to
team
get it done.
100% participation of registration of your score online.
Maybe it doesn't redos can be fine, but as long as you have a score in there, you get those points.
We would give 3 points for the Spirit of the Open, and that's the team that, or the individual that literally just gets everybody fired up.
Brought the energy.
Brought the energy. They have the best costume. You know who those people are.
And it's crazy. You might find people that actually come out of their shell in that environment.
Yes, they do. And we didn't allow for repeats on that. So there's three weeks, and it was a unique person every week.
Yeah.
And I had a committee that helped me determine who that person was. Mm-hmm. So I chose 3 people, 3 members that would
submit, and everybody would vote on it.
And everyone would vote on
it. Okay.
So I tried to keep it independent. The weekly team challenge. So this is one we added this last year.
Yeah, this was fun.
This was really fun. 10 points to 30 points. So it was somewhat subjective in terms of points, depending upon the complexity of the challenge. And I got this idea from CrossFit Roots, Nicole Christensen. And she's got a great article on the CrossFit Games website on how to run an open affiliate, how to run an intramural open at your affiliate on the CrossFit Games website. And then in the toolkit too, there's that information is there. So by all means, go chase that down. Every week she has some sort of event that the teams compete that's non-CrossFit. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was the coolest thing ever.
Yeah.
So she does, the one that she did was they did a bake-off 1 year.
Oh, that's right.
That 1 week was a bake-off. We didn't do that one. We know who would have won that one. We see you, Kat.
Could be a good close match though.
Right. The next one, what she did, this one's hilarious. And I did want to do this one, was a CrossFit Roots fashion show.
Oh, that's right. And yes.
And it had to be CrossFit Roots gear of some sort. It had to have the CrossFit Roots logo. And they literally created a runway where they would walk down on top of boxes, you know, the wooden boxes.
legit runway.
And the Friday Night Lights. And then they walked down.
So this was during when they were doing the open workout?
Yes. Oh. They took a break to do the fashion show, the team fashion show.
Oh, that's awesome.
And then the one we did do that I thought was awesome was the bowling night.
Mm-hmm.
On a separate night.
Was fun.
Yeah, I forget what night we did it on.
Yeah, that was like on a Sunday.
Saturday.
Saturday.
The day after. We went over to the bowling alley. We reserved a couple, 3 lanes for the teams.
There's a lot of people that showed up.
Yeah, a lot of people showed up. And then we bowled, and it was just like we took cumulative score for the team. It was so much fun.
You did a cumulative score, and then you had a high score.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
You had a couple different scoring opportunities within that.
Right. But that brought the community together outside of the gym in a non-competitive way, and everybody got to participate, especially the bowlers. It was pretty fun. Oh, yeah, we did week one was 10 points. I'm looking at my scoring
sheet. Yeah, it went 10, 20, 30.
10, 20, 30.
Yeah.
And then the last one we did, this one was really cool too. I love this one. Jamie created this one. Is we did like a team competition that was more of a like a skill challenge.
It's like a skill relay.
Skill relay. Oh, yeah, it was a relay.
It was a relay.
And it started with...
You couldn't have repeat athletes. So it really kind of helped bring in
a lot
of people into it.
Yeah, your athletes couldn't, for each... stage of the event.
There was like three stages.
So the first one was Flip Cup.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
And Flip Cup is always fun.
Yep.
So each team, you know, each team had a table and they had to flip through the cups.
You had to have an athlete at each cup because once they do their station, they're done. They can't back to any part of the relay.
Yeah. So it was Flip Cup. Yeah, and then like the next one was the
Cornhole.
Yep. But didn't you have to do a buy-in with the ski erg?
No, the cornhole.
Oh, that's right. Oh,
the cornhole was, so it went from Flip Cup right to cornhole. And there was something with the cornhole. Like you had to have 3 beanbags go in.
Go through. Yeah. 3 beanbags go through the hole.
And then you went into a buy-in on the ski erg. You'd have one athlete go into a ski erg.
This was so
good. So they would go look at the Lego. So we had a Lego, like a little block. I made a little Lego block. It was like 12 pieces, yep. Duplos. You would go and look at it, and then you would have to come back, do your skier buy-in.
Literally 20 feet away.
Yeah, not far.
25 feet away tops.
And it was like a 10 or 15 calorie skier. So it wasn't very long. It was just enough to really spike the heart rate.
Yeah.
And then you had to reassemble the Lego pieces in the right order.
Yes.
And any time, you could go back and look at that at any time, but before you got back to your set, you had to do your buy-in again.
Yes.
And it was one person. So you couldn't rotate out. It was just like one person goes and looks, comes back, does their skiing, and then tries to put it together. And then we would check. Nope, wrong. Do it again.
It was so good. And it was a relatively simple Lego setup.
It was.
And the guy wasn't a lot of blocks, but man, as soon as you put a little heart rate factor on it, man, it was crazy.
Yeah. And Jordan was the one that did put it together right. And he's got a young child. He's very familiar with Duplos.
Oh, yeah.
So a little plus there.
So again, you create the you create your scoring, and then you're gonna, and what we would do is on all the scores would go in, or you know, the scoring closes on Monday, and then Monday that's when, you know, your work begins.
Yeah. On that note,
yeah.
About how many hours a week would you say you're putting in to manage and run this all?
Just for
a point of reference.
Yeah, that's a good point. So I was putting in about I would say a minimum of 3 hours of administration time, overall probably about 6 hours. Mm-hmm. So 6 hours of in terms of setting up the gym and doing all that. Three hours of setting up the gym, organizing and getting that all set. Mm-hmm. And then of course the time at the event.
During the event.
And then another 3 hours of like dedicated time,
spreadsheets, collecting scores,
all of that.
Was that also including your validation, like score validations?
Yeah, yes. Okay. Put all of these.
Tag a link on this
video. Yeah, a link, and let me show you the score sheets. I'll just give you quickly. It's really not going to benefit anybody to dig in and see on this podcast, but I'll just kind of show you what a scoring sheet looks like.
You're talking about the weekly thing that you posted.
I did assign categories as well. And hopefully I don't run out of battery. I'm getting really low on my battery. Share screen.
I'm listening.
Let me see. Oh yeah, here, check it out. All right, so this is my main spreadsheet. Now I'm going to give everybody access to this. This is my just kind of starter of like who's. Oh man, thank you. Who's attached to the task? You know, so who reviews the scorecards? Who approves the scores? Download spreadsheets. So we had those assigned out to people. And the to-do is, you know, you do the PR box on the scorecard, Friday Night Light scorecards, bowling event, all, you know, just the daily tasks. Here's the teams as we broke them out. This is like team one, team two, and team three. And at the top is in the bold is the coach,
team captain,
you know, followed by the member captain, and then each team sorted alphabetically. This is my initial team sheet because I just wanted to know, did they register for the open and did they do 24.1? And you can see if I click on it, there's a formula there. It goes and grabs this data off another spreadsheet. This is the registered for the open sheet. You know, all I would do is just go to my affiliate leaderboard and just pull the names off.
Yeah.
Right. And that way I could use that as my data. If you look at a score sheet here, this is a typical score sheet, right? So this is 24.1. So what team they're on is in the first column, followed by, you know, gender. And then in here, if I open this up, it's there. It also has
age group.
I knew if it were age group, and then it's got their overall rank for that workout, overall points for that workout, and then their overall points. That's, you could put that on there. I didn't need it. I just had it on there, but here's their 24. The most important thing: 24.1 score.
Yeah.
Right, and what made it difficult sometimes was reps versus time. Score. Right. And then also tie break, right?
Yeah, I could see the time, because the difference between going from reps into a time, because if you don't complete the workout, it shows up as reps.
That's right. Let me see if freeze.
Were you able to filter the two then, or were you doing that manually? Between the reps and time.
What do you mean?
So, like, for example, if you got a time, your score would be higher than somebody that got reps because you finished the workout.
Right.
So when I look at your score, you have some times, but you also have some reps.
Yes.
So were you filtering that separately, like individually, yes. Like on your own? Okay. Yeah, manually.
Yeah, yeah.
You're
manually sorting. Yeah. On my own. That's good. That's a good question. That's a very good question, because that's where it does get a little shitty.
Yeah.
That's where you're just like,
Yeah.
And what you do is you just sort, right?
Okay.
What the good news is that if you do a top 10 ranking, chances are you're not going to get anybody with reps.
God,
you're going to get mostly people
most
with
of times.
Times. Right? So you don't really have to mess. So some might show up in the foundations, I noticed. And then what you do is you create almost two separate rankings and then attach the two together. So you get your top scores, your top four score people, and then you add your next points people out right after that. All right. So then I go to, this is 24.1, Friday Night Lights. So they got a point if they got Friday Night Lights. If they did the workout, the Friday Night Lights workout right here, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or they attended Friday Night Lights.
And that was just
attending Friday Night Lights got a point.
That's right. That's right.
Remember?
It was, so you got 2 points essentially. Yes.
This
attending
year,
and
this
then
year,
doing.
Yeah. This year, what we did was we gave points, because a lot of people would come. We want people to come.
Yeah.
Even if they don't do the workout. So we gave them a point to come. That's a very good point.
That's a good,
And then if they did the workout, they got another point. If they did the workout at Friday Night Lights, we gave them an extra point. Right. So you look at Jared Kisick right there, and he was there and he did the workout.
And he judged people.
Right. So then he's a judge. We're going to get to the draft because this is like this. When you're looking now,
those are your top draft picks right there.
So when we had the draft, and the draft is so much fucking fun. It is so much fun. People, the captains are looking at this data.
Yeah.
They're scrubbing this data. And it was great. So then, redo judge, we gave points for redos this year, and then their total points, right? So, if I rank this, I'm going to sort, Z to A, right? So Kim, look at Kim Hyland. She's got 21 total points. So she smashed kicked ass it. For her team. She did the CrossFit Games. She also, because she
was
master's athlete,
ranked.
She got 5 points for ranking, right? Because she was in
one of the
fifth place, obviously. She was fifth place in women, and she's a master's athlete. Friday Night Lights. Oh, she didn't do the workout Friday Night Lights.
Because she was so busy judging.
Well, oh, yeah, 11 judging, 3 redos, right? And so she ends up, with 21 total points.
Yeah.
A great team score. And, I have a spreadsheet here with all the raw data. So I just put in the raw data here. And then 24.2, it's the same thing. I did the same thing, which is kind of cool. And then I would publish something, that looked like this. So, let me show, present. Bum, bum, bum.
So, Julie, this sounds like this is going to be some helpful information.
Yeah.
And we'll put this stuff out here. So
I'm going to
help improve your processes for 25.
I'll give you a link right now.
Oh, just post the link in the chat.
Post a link in the chat. All of this stuff. I have multiple spreadsheets in here. You can just copy and paste spreadsheets, and some of them have formulas as well.
So, Julie's question, are you entering it all by hand or using a form? Data.
Oh, that's a good question. So, I'm entering it each call. I'm doing by hand. I'm not doing a form. Yeah. You can create a form. I know what she means by that.
Yeah. Something that would just automatically fill into the spreadsheet.
That's right.
But you're also pulling some of the data right from the game site. So if you had to input all that data into a form, that would probably take a lot longer.
As much as possible, I tried to pull the data. Yeah. I would copy and paste the data from MindBody for their attendance. And then I would also copy the Diablo CrossFit team.
Games
page. My page.
Yeah.
The affiliate page.
Didn't they make something where we could download CVS, like CSV file or something like that?
And you can now download for your gym the CVS file, which is the same data.
Okay.
And actually, that data is better.
Okay.
Right. Rather than cutting
more,
and pasting.
More accurate. You get more information.
So as an affiliate, you can go into your affiliate score leaderboard. You see your affiliate leaderboard in the CrossFit Games affiliate page.
Yeah.
Your affiliate toolbox. I don't know what it is.
It's like your
competition. They call it your competition dashboard.
Okay. That's dashboard. Yeah.
So you go to affiliate competition dashboard. You go to your leaderboard and then you can download a CSV file and it gives you all that data and it gives you in a spreadsheet format, which is really cool. That doesn't make it a lot easier. Mm-hmm. But so you got to be a little
lean into that.
Yeah. Oh, here's the one thing I wanted to show. I want to show like the, here's how I show it. Present screen. Share screen. Check this out. Which screen do I want to show? Let me see if it's, yeah, this is it. So this is what I would do every week. And then I would publish this on a web page. Yes. I would just publish this on a web page, yeah. On a post.
Or post it on our Facebook page.
On our Facebook page. And this really kind of gives the team totals. You know, it's my attempt at creating cool graphics. The team, what they did as total team. And then I put some of the individual scores. So here's open men, right? Mm-hmm. Sean Scott, you know, he got, you know, 286 points. Jackson Miller, Sean Rufo, Mark Mooney. So if I go on this right here, we have on this particular workout, masters. There's one master. Oh, there's only one masters in men. And then in the women.
For the women, you had some, though.
Yeah, we had
two, one.
Brittany was this a master.
Like five or six masters.
Yeah. There. And then a teen athlete, too.
I mean, when I'm saying masters, I'm also counting 35.
Well, and then you go down to scale men, scale women. This is cool, yeah. Too. Right. And here you go. Here's one. This is a question that was asked, right? Reps versus time. So this is where it would show up. So you look in master. This is a scaled man. Sean Drummond finishing 10:24 scaled. Mm-hmm. First place, 10 points. And we're going to. Oh, here we go. Harold Hernandez. Harold, coach Harold Hernandez, decided to do this workout scaled. Not sure why Harold did this workout scaled. Coach Harold, but he did, and he didn't even get first, he got second. And then you go to Marty Atkinson, who did it scaled because he had knee issues, and he got 289 reps, right? So you see the reps follow the actual time. And there's masters thrown in. There's lots of masters in here in this group.
Yeah.
This is really cool too. Same thing over here. Sarita masters, Mel's a master. Yeah, it's awesome. Cynthia Espinosa's master.
No real foundations scored on this, though, did they?
No, not on that one. And okay. Then here's judging. Harold Hernandez kicked ass on judging, right?
Which made him one of the top earners. Yeah.
And then just for informational purposes, we put so people could see who the top points earners are overall. We just, you know, that's good information. So now let's get back to the draft and how we did the draft. And talk about that for a minute, because that is one of the fun.
Probably the best part of this whole process, right?
My advice is don't broadcast your draft live. Don't do that.
You did that once before, but you were pulling names out of a hat that year.
We were, because things will be said about people that they might not like. It is so much fun.
All out of love.
Oh, it's all out of love. It is great. And so. But what's really cool is you know, and I really give it to Team Blue, Chad, who is the captain of Team Blue.
No, he wasn't captain last year.
Well, 2 years ago. He was one of the best drafts, Team Blue with Chad and Deb Kopke.
Yeah.
They went through this data. They pored over this data. And then when it came to draft time, it was so fun. We did the draft this last year at your house, didn't we?
Garage session.
Yeah, garage session at Jamie Lee's house. And that was a lot of fun too. As you go through it, so you instantly people are drawn to, well, people are just going to go through and take all the top athletes in the gym. Yeah, yes and no. Top athletes are good at ending up on the leaderboard, like you see Jackson's name up there. The top athletes don't like the judge. they're not making the
Jackson
cookies.
Did actually a decent
they're
amount
not,
of judging that
they're
year.
Not wearing the uniforms, they're not getting the no team spirit. They're like they're getting their workout done. They're scoring high, and they're out. And that's what we love them for. That
they're not hanging out judging heat after heat.
But it's
after
always
heat after
so
heat.
Awesome as you start the draft, right? And the first two teams go, and the first team goes, "Well, we'll take in the first round, first pick, first." And we do it. What do we call it? Snake style.
Snake style. Yeah.
So
would you give them a 1 minute?
Yeah, we gave them 1 minute. So we had a little timer, which makes it fun too. Yeah. Right? So you got a minute to choose your name. And I would give that people access to all these spreadsheets, so they have all this data
ahead of time.
And, so they can do their homework. And I told them, I go pour over the leaderboard for Diablo CrossFit, on the CrossFit game site, see who it is, and then talk to people in the gym, kind of get a feel, and look at who's registered already.
Yeah,
that's a good.
That indicator. Was a helpful one.
Yeah, you want to look at who's already registered for the open. You want
to draft somebody that's so not tell even
them,
doing
pour
it.
Pour over this information, and then we when we did the draft, we got them drinks and food, so it was made it a fun event, and we got the team captains, and then I organized. We had one or two people helping organize and keeping track all the data. And I just put it on a spreadsheet. We just go name by name by name by name. And we didn't release the draft choices until after I got all the data down. Then I put it on. People didn't need to know where they went in the draft. Although top draft choices were getting texts. Hey, you got drafted.
Yeah. I mean, it maybe is not a bad thing because it's not like you're getting drafted from just your performance, but you're also getting drafted by your contribution to the community.
Yeah.
You know, whether it be through judging or through energy in here.
So the draft will go. It would literally would go like the top athlete, Jackson Miller would be first, right? And then you get, his wife, Cynthia, who's also a top athlete. She would get drafted second. And,
she was a team captain last year.
Right. Yeah. And then you'd get, it was Chad's term and on his team. And he goes, we're taking Erica Linden. And everyone's like, Erica Linden, right? She's a scaled athlete. Yeah. Oh,
she banked a lot of judging.
She banked a lot of judging, man.
Yeah. Right. So you could really kind of play that game from multiple different angles.
Oh, he's right now. You look at this right now and Kim Hyland.
Oh, yeah. She's sure number one draft pick.
She's number one draft pick.
Yeah. I mean, that's just based off of 1 week, too. Yes. Like you look at the rest of the weekend.
And then people start, as you get into what's cool is you get into later rounds. Now they're digging into like the Masters athletes.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, okay. Oh, that's right. Yvonne. Yeah. She's always going to score. And she's going to judge. She's another high draft.
Yeah.
But then there's other Masters athletes, and like Mark Mooney's a sleeper, right? He, the guy always is always ends up on the leaderboard.
So, yeah.
Because he's a Masters athlete, he performs, he gets scaled weights.
With the scaled weights, it really does level the playing field.
So, yeah, the top draft choices are the Masters 55 and older. Yeah. That's when the weight changes.
Yeah.
That's when the scaling
begins.
That's a
good point. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So it's the draft ends up being a ton of fun. And that takes us 2 hours really to go through. To go through the draft.
And you guys drafted how many people in that night? Because you continue to add people on afterwards.
Yeah, let's talk about that too.
The backfill.
Yeah, so we probably drafted 100 people that night.
I think it was more than
that. Yeah, probably close to 150.
I want to say it was probably close to 150, yeah.
And so then when we say, okay, there's other people, and the only people that were eligible for the draft,
You opened it up to not just having be registered.
1 year we did the draft, we said you had to be registered for the open in order to be drafted.
To be eligible for the draft.
Yeah. And then we're like, let's open it up to everybody because that'll encourage people to register.
It opens up room for peer pressure to sign up.
Yeah. So here's what we did. We go through the draft for all the people that were registered for sure got picked. And then others got picked as well. And then we kind of capped it. I forget what number we capped it at that night. But then what we said is new people that register for the open. So if anybody registered for the open, I would add them to a team. But I would do it sequentially.
Oh, so you kind of follow that same snake format?
Yeah. And oh, by the way, the snake draft, let's talk about that. Yeah. How does the snake draft go again?
So basically, you had three teams, team A, B, C. A would go first, B would go second, C would go third, C would go then the next one. So C followed themselves.
Oh, that's right.
B, and then A followed themselves.
And then A, B, C, C. Yeah, so
A,
and what B, that does C, is it gives
B, A.
if you have the third choice in the draft, like you get you get two picks basically.
Yeah.
You're getting the first pick of the second round.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
The next round.
Yeah. And then that and so on.
It was fun too, because watching so and so get picked up, and then the next team's like, we were gonna pick them. Now they gotta struggle and figure out where they're gonna go next.
And they would have to, man, you would want to keep your picks quiet in that room too. You do not wanna you wouldn't want to release your picks. And it was the anticipation too, people just waiting to drop their bomb.
Yeah.
It was so fun too. Yeah, the draft is one.
That'll be the one thing I miss about this year, not doing the intramural.
Not doing the intramural this year. Yeah. This year we're doing
themes
all week. And here's the other thing. Yeah, I would add to it to help boost kind of excitement is each week do a theme.
Yeah.
you know, tie dye.
Sports. We did sports memorabilia.
You could do, you know, OG CrossFit theme. You know, there's all kinds of themes you can create to make it a fun night and then to encourage team spirit. All of the teams brought tables and then set up food for their team.
Well, you provided the tables. They just set them all up.
Yeah, they set them all up. But they bring in their food, their snacks for their team.
Streamers and
banners,
drinks,
huge banners that these guys would make trying to win the Spirit Award. And then you take a group picture. The greatest thing about the group picture, you take this group picture, and they literally segregate themselves.
Oh yeah,
they all cling together as their team. And if you look back at our old team group pictures of the Open, you literally like there's black, it's
very
there's
clear.
There's purple and there's red.
Like, yeah,
there's all the three colors you can see, which makes it really fun. And then put out the scoring every week, and it's surprisingly it ends up pretty close. I mean, it's really remarkable how close the scoring ends up. You know, if you do it right. You'll make some mistakes going through. Find someone that's good at running these types of events and get them to help you. This year's what were your thoughts on a community cup? You have any thoughts on a community cup and the levels, and then how that might play into the intramural open?
I think the intramural open is, I think, honestly, I'm a huge fan. I really like this addition to it. I know it kind of sucks for a lot of the competitive athletes that lost the quarterfinals, but in reality is they didn't lose something, they gained something, because now they're going to be able to compete still 3 months later. They get 3 months to prepare for that, to compete against those that they would be competing against in the quarterfinals.
Right.
But from an intramural perspective, I think it's just another opportunity to kind of have another community event. You know, if you wanted to, you could essentially keep the same team carrying through to the quarterfinals.
Yeah, you could.
Or to the quarter. I'm going to call those the quarterfinals for probably a year or two, but the Community Cup.
The Community Cup.
You know, having another opportunity to have another community event. You know, we've talked about doing this on the weekend and kind of maybe doing throughout the weekend. But kind of, you know, keeping the same team, you keep the same vibe, same energy throughout that 3 month period of training.
Here's the thing I do like about the Community Cup. It's off in the future,
right? Yeah. It's not right after the open.
Stacked after the open. It's in June, and June is a time
which was difficult with the quarterfinals, because it wasn't just one event. It wasn't just one weekend. It was one weekend, a weekend off, the next weekend, a weekend off, the next weekend, and that was just the quarterfinals.
Yeah,
we went through three different quarterfinals: individual, masters,
as
age group,
as an owner, team. As an owner, it was exhausting.
Yeah,
and it interfered with the community.
Yeah,
it didn't add to the community. I mean, some people come in and watch the athletes compete, but it really kind of, you know, we had to work around when classes were to execute those workouts. Now at the Community Cup, everybody's participating.
Yeah.
So the whole gym's participating.
Yeah.
And our tentative plan is now that we're going to do it on a weekend. So it's three workouts. You have all week to do it. But what we're going to do is we're going to probably do it like on a Friday, Saturday, Sunday, make it like a CrossFit competition.
Yeah.
Even though it's only one, it'll be one workout a day. And we're going to bring people in, and what's neat is you're going to have a level. And so we'll be able to group people maybe by levels, maybe create teams by their levels. And going forward for your intramural opens in the future, the level system might help as well in terms of scoring.
That's a really good point. You could actually, yeah, that's a really good point. You can leverage those levels, even into your scoring.
Yeah.
Instead of having the scaled RX variation, maybe have level one scored this, maybe top three in each level.
That's right. It's kind of cool. There's some unique opportunities we think that'll happen down the down the road. I shared the content with everyone. They can see it. Anything else to add on the intramural open? Hope we explained it well enough for you guys. Start with a score sheet. What do you want to accomplish? What do you want to reward?
Yeah.
What do you want? What behavior do you want to reward or encourage?
I would say the encouragement too is like you want people to come in and have fun. You don't want it to become,
and you want everybody to feel like they can contribute. How can you contribute? You can judge.
Yeah.
How can you contribute? Have good team spirit. How can you contribute? Do the workout scaled and give it your all.
So now it's another opportunity to educate our members on what is the open.
How can you contribute? Show up.
Yeah.
You get a point.
Yeah.
Register for the open. Like you're giving a point. Yeah. It's kind of cool. When you, if you look at our top points or earners overall, on the screen that I showed earlier, let me see.
Share, I think you got to open up your access.
Yeah, I know.
Share
screen.
He'll do one. Make the link available.
Oh, is it?
You just have to share it.
Oh, okay. I'll let me do that. Yeah, but so anyway, you see on here, like, these are not necessarily the best athletes in the gym, these top earners. Harold, he did one workout scaled, but he's a coach. And
you got a large,
not a competition range. Athlete. The top three people are not competition athletes.
Yeah.
The top four of the top five are not competition athletes.
Yeah.
Jackson and Yvonne are competition athletes. Yvonne's a master's athlete. Alessandra's not competitive anymore because of momhood.
But still is here. Yeah,
that's right. And then let me see. So she said, I need to make sure. Oh, anyone with the link is a viewer.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the from doing an intramural open, it takes away the pressure to perform, but still be a part of it. You know, there's a lot of times we'll be in class and we're talking about the open and who's signing up, and you see a lot of people just, I'm not doing it this year.
Right.
I don't want to do that. I'm not going to be competitive, but being a part of the community is important. And like you said, you just got to show up. And doing something like this encourages you to show up.
100%.
And especially with something like the Community Cup following it, you got to show up in order to get a ranking, in order to move on. So,
oh, that's right.
This is important. Right? Yeah, this is a very important detail.
You need to do all three workouts.
You at least have one.
You have to submit all three, three scores to get a ranking.
Yeah.
And that's important. I think the Community Cup has the potential to be really big. I agree with you.
Yeah.
And it'd be a significant part of what we do at in the CrossFit Open going forward.
Mm-hmm. Even outside of that, because it opens up an opportunity to
host competitions based on that.
Yeah. In-person competitions, local competitions that you're competing against your peers versus being afraid to sign up to an RX version and, you know, maybe not have all those skills.
Right. Julie, if it says request access, just request access and I'll hit the button. Struggling to do it right.
I'll help him.
Yeah. All right. That's it. Yeah. Anything else?
No, that's a wrap.
Made it in an hour. Yeah. All right. Thanks, guys. Thanks a lot.
Till next time.
Yep.